December 14th, 2006. It's the Lullabot Podcast. Hi, it's Jeff Robbins with another Lullabot Drupal podcast. Sorry for the wait for this one to come out. I had some major hard drive failure problems, and it took me a while to get all my data back. But I managed to get my data back, including the interview that Angie and I did with Derek Wright, which makes up the bulk of today's podcast. I should mention, as I do, that Lullabot has workshops coming up in January in Providence, Rhode Island. Go to lullabot.com/training to find out more about that and those. And we hope that you'll be able to come and learn all about Drupal from the experts at Lullabot. Well, without further ado, here is the interview with Derek Wright about the new release system that's been recently released for Drupal contributions. So, Derek, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved in Drupal.
Well, let's see. I'm a computer programmer by day and a musician by night, and I was setting up a website for my band, and I wanted it to be all slick and interactive and a calendar, and people could sign up for events and tell me who was coming to what rehearsal and what gig and blah, blah, blah. And so I went out to find a content management system and found Drupal and fell in love. And I started hacking the code to the sign-up module and the event module and getting in arguments with the maintainers about how they should work. And before long, I was...
We've all been there. No.
Yes. Sign-up module. So you're fighting with Chad.
That's right.
I've been there.
Yes. I love Chad. He's a nice guy. Very helpful. To make a long story short, I got hip to how Drupal development worked, and I thought, geez, this would be a great thing to do with my day job and how we develop software. So I started down the path of seeing what it would take to get Drupal running at my day job, and that's what brought me into the world of the project module and the CVS module and all that good stuff. And attempts to develop a new feature version of the sign-up module for 4.6 left me feeling like our infrastructure for releasing Drupal stuff was highly lacking.
So what is your band?
My band, well, there's a couple, but the main one that has the Drupal site is a Brazilian percussion ensemble I direct called Bateria Lucha here in the Bay Area.
Cool. Wow. Do you want to throw down a URL for people?
Sure, it's Bateria Lucha, BATERIALUCHA, one big word, .org.
Cool. Right on. So you got you've sort of been the guy behind the whole new release system that the new Drupal 5 is sort of, well, it's not really related to Drupal 5 so much as just sort of around the release, and that the new Drupal 5 will sort of adhere to this release system and stuff
right.
like that,
there,
right?
There are some changes in Drupal 5 to take advantage of this. So now when you're administering your site and you go to the page where you can see what all the modules are that you've enabled on your site, in Drupal 5 now, that page will actually tell you the real versions of everything that you have installed, so that it's easy to see if there's, you know, if, for example, when you're trying to report a bug, you can just go to that page and say, aha, I'm using version 4.7x-1.3 of the sign-up module,
right,
and it's broken. And
right, right.
So
I noticed
that
in Drupal 5. Let's sort of step back and talk a little bit about how Drupal sort of versioning used to work and how it works now.
Okay. Well, I mean, the main thing to keep in mind is that core of Drupal always used to have a reasonable system, and it used to have real version numbers, and it continues to do so. The big change is really that all of the contributed modules now get to use the same sorts of good practices that core has always used. So That's the good thing to keep in mind when you're thinking about this stuff, that how it always has worked for Core, it now works that way for the whole system.
So basically, if I have some module of mine and I want to do crazy stuff, like I want to add a function that has it go and wash my dishes for me, I can go off and do that without affecting the regular module that everybody else is using, correct?
Yeah, that's an extension from what I'm talking about. So, but yeah, that is also true, that there's now ways that people can develop modules and add new features that are basically untested or whatever level of stability that they're at, that those can be actually released and available to people to play with without breaking the older version, the more stable version that's still compatible with whatever version of Core that module is compatible
right.
with.
So my understanding, or at least my experience, was let's say, so right now we've got Drupal 5 coming out in a few weeks. And so all modules need to be updated for Drupal 5. But if you wanted to have a Drupal 4.7 version of that same module and you wanted to add some experimental functionality, let's say doing dishes, and you wanted to have it, you know, people be able to test it out, sort of be the beta version. In the past, there really wasn't any way to do that. You basically had one development version of the module, which was the head version, which presumably was for the next version of Drupal, which when Drupal 5 comes out would be Drupal 6. And so there wouldn't really be a way to continue development for 4.7 in an experimental way. You'd have to just sort of roll things out and that would be it, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely part of the problem of how development used to work is that there was this sort of unnamed thing called head that different contributed modules would use for different things, or rather the maintainers would use for different things. So some people would try and port to the next version of Drupal as it was being developed and would sort of what was affectionately known as chasing the head of Drupal. And so as people are changing Core, you're trying to change your version of your module to keep up with it. That was one thing people used head for. Another thing people used head for was develop new features that are still compatible. So they'd have the official, say, Drupal 4.7 branch for the stable version of their code, and then they'd be adding new features to the head version. And if you knew who to ask, you'd find out it was still compatible with 4.7, but there was no real good way to look
right.
at
Right,
anything
right.
and know that that was the case. So some people's, their version of head was partially compatible with version 5. Some of it was fully compatible with version 4. Some people, it's still fully compatible with versions, you know, 4 or 6. I mean, there was just no way to know. And so one of the things the new system does is it gives developers sort of first-class citizens to play with all this stuff and ways to say exactly what it is and what it's compatible with and what people who are using it should be able to expect in terms of stability and bug fixes only, or if this is a place where new features are happening and so on. And so hopefully no one will ever be using the head release of anything anymore unless they're specifically helping the developer porting to the next version of Drupal.
Cool. Fascinating. So what does this mean for the end user? I mean, how does this affect people who go to Drupal.org and download modules?
Yeah. The main way this affects people is that, A, they're no longer stuck with just the 4.7.0 version and some date to find out what code they have, that they can go and look at in a given module, you know, look at its project node and see exactly what the current release is and when that was and if the version they have is out of date or not. In the future, that step will potentially be automated and there'll be ways for your Drupal installation to just tell you if you're running some out-of-date code. But
it'll tell you that there's modules that have updates.
Yeah, I mean, that's not yet the case, but we're already laying the plumbing to put some sort of feature like that into
place.
Wow,
cool stuff. Yeah. Yeah, very cool.
But the main way that this affects end users is sort of twofold, that when they're downloading something, they know exactly what they're getting. And then the other side of that is that if they're reporting a bug or something like this, that they have an exact version to report it with. And so that there's no confusion anymore. I don't know if people have submitted a bug and they say, oh, well, I'm running the 4.7.0 version and I have this problem. And then the the person replies in the issue queue, oh, well, what's the date that you downloaded it on? Oh, I don't remember.
Right.
And then there's all this confusion as to what the code really is, because this gets back to how the old system worked, that every, you know, twice a day or three times a day, another version of the exactly the same name of the tarball, signup.470.tar.gz, that just constantly got updated every time anybody changed the code.
Huh.
And there was no new version. There was no way to identify this or that other than the date.
And so the CVS versions that were at the
right,
top of
exactly,
the files.
The little,
each,
right,
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a real confusing mess for anybody to know what's going on. And now the flip side of that is that the maintainers of their modules can sort of let a series of fixes all sort of converge, just like we do in core, right? That 4.7.4 has been out for a while now, and there have been a number of things that have been fixed, but we haven't decided it's worth releasing a 4.7.5 version of core just yet. But once they finally do, you know, say we discover a security vulnerability and we want to get a new release out, or enough, you know, somebody reports a really critical bug that could potentially be, you know, I don't know, whatever. Eventually we decide it's really worth upgrading. Anybody who has Drupal 4.7 something installed should better upgrade to 4.7.5. When the human developers decide that, they can make a new release of core, and we all know that. And now that same thing is also true with contrib modules. So when enough sort of small fixes go in, or a big enough big fix goes in, the maintainer can make a new official release, and then you can just see, okay, now there's the 4.7x-1.3 release out, and I'm still on 1.2, so I better upgrade, because the maintainer thought it was important enough to make a new release for it.
Right. So from an end user standpoint, it means that there will be versions of the module that they can download. So, when they go to Drupal.org, let's say that there's a, now how would versions work? If there was a version for Drupal 4.7, is it a 1.0 release? Like if I have a module for 4.7 and I wanted to put out my next version of it, would it be 1.1 or 2.0 or?
Okay, that's a good question. So yeah, I guess we should talk a little bit about what the version numbers for contrib things look like now. So in the past, it was always just this 4.7.0, and that was all you got.
Right.
And at least you knew it was 4.7 something, but the .0 didn't mean anything. So now what it is it says 4.7.x, and the x is the actual character x, and that just means it's compatible with any version of core from the 4.7 series. And then there's a hyphen, and then there's some other stuff. And that other stuff is sort of up to the maintainer. But the default would be a 4.7x-1.0. That would be your initial release that was compatible with the 4.7 version of Drupal core. So how it's designed and how people are supposed to do things is that the 1.whatever series of your module compatible with 4.7 would be stable and would only be for bug fixes and security patches. And so as you make other bug fixes and you decide to make another release, that would be 1.1 and 1.2 and 1.3.
Right.
Now, if you wanted to start adding new features, the developer would make a new branch in CVS, and then that would be the 4.7x-2 series. So this would be like the 2.0 release. It would be the first release with the new features that's still compatible with 4.7. So
wow.
The first part is the same, but now it's this new sort of version that's still compatible with 4.7.
Okay,
that would
so,
be for
so this
features.
Is a this is a new branch, which means that you could continue development on the 1. Whatever
exactly.
Version, so
exactly.
That there could be different
exactly.
Versions of the same module, and it could get really
right.
Could make your head hurt. That's
so that's nice because so now basically module maintainers are no longer tied to having to release new versions of their modules only when core updates. So like if Earl Miles has all these crazy ideas of what he wants to do with Vue's module, because other people rely on Vue's module, he can't just up and change the whole API and totally break all these other modules. But now, basically, before he would have to wait until a new version of core came out, and then as long as he was updating the module, he could add in all this other crazy stuff. And this basically allowed him to control that himself and say, you know, even though Drupal 5 just came out, I'm going to go ahead and work on this crazy new version of Vue and not bother waiting until 6.0 is out.
Right,
like
right.
Exactly.
Huh.
And so, I mean, people should keep in mind that the number of modules that are ever going to have anything beyond a 1.0 version is going to be really small. It's going to be a handful of things like views, like maybe the voting API, like, you know, a handful of maintainers who are really interested or who need to support older versions of core for some reason. My site's still running 4.6 for my band, and I want to make the 4.6 versions of signup have all these new features. You know, there's going to be a pretty small group of people who are bothering to add new features to older versions.
Right.
But at least the ability is there now, as Angie said, so that the sort of responsible and ambitious maintainers out there who really want to, you know, provide new features without breaking old sites, or, you know, have a bunch of other modules that depend on them, that they provide some kind of API, those people now have a mechanism to do that in a responsible way that doesn't break people who are depending on the stable versions.
So how does this look for developers, people that are maintaining modules and stuff like that? I mean, this is a, you know, for, I guess the end users don't really sort of worry about CVS so much. They just go to Drupal.org and they could conceivably download just the stuff right off of there and install it on their site and off they go. Actually, before I get into the developer aspect, there is one question I wanted to ask, which is, let's say I've got a 1.0 version and then a 1.1 version of my module. Will both be available to the end user to download?
Yes, they would still be there, although the sort of default download link, if you're just browsing in the modules pages, like if you go to drupal.org/download/modules and you're looking at all of the different contributed modules,
right,
any of the download links that you see in there will be pointing to the newest version. So by default, if you're just browsing around and you click download somewhere over there, you're going to get the latest versions.
The latest version, which would usually be for the latest version of Drupal. So if you're running 4.7, let's say, which is although the current version of Drupal, not the latest version of Drupal,
right,
you might be downloading the essentially the 5.0 version. So the thing to do is to click on that link to, what does it say, all releases or something?
And then yeah, it's a little hard to do this via audio, I guess. It'd be easier to just see the pages to know what we were talking about. But when you're browsing around in the downloads pages, there's a little filter at the top of the page that says, show me only the modules that have a 5.x release or that have a 4.7.x release. So assuming that you're filtering by that and you say, okay, my site's a 4.7 based site, I only care about modules that have a 4.7 version, then all of the download links would get you the latest version compatible with 4.7. Does that make sense?
Oh, wow. Okay.
Is that clear? Right. And so if you're trying to set up a site based on Drupal 5, you would also go to the downloads pages, but you'd say, you'd say filter on all of the 5.x releases and say only show me contributed modules that have 5.x stuff. And then you'd see a smaller list right now because not all the contrib modules have been ported. But then you would see all the modules that have a 5.x version. And if any of those you care about were there, then, you know, the download link there would get you the latest release from that module that was compatible with 5.x.
Oh, I see the download link right on that listing page.
Yeah.
Now, if you go to the find out more, which essentially brings you to the node for that.
For that project.
For that project.
The project homepage or the project node or, yeah.
Right.
If you go to there, then currently there's just a single link that's the default download. That's whatever the maintainer thinks most people are going to want to look at. But there's another link to say, show me all of the releases for this. And then that would give you all of the releases that have ever been made of that particular module.
Ah.
That's why if you ever get curious about ancient history, you can use that and download like Drupal 4.5.1 or something like that.
Right. Cool. I should mention that the specifics of all of this sort of user interface stuff is definitely in flux, and that one of the things that I'm just about to put the finishing touches on and deploy on Drupal.org is that instead of just a single little default download link there, that there'd be a little table, and it would give you the latest downloads for each of the sort of currently supported branches, and then there'd be a separate area where it would show you the development snapshots for people who wanted that. So The specifics of the UI maybe will be getting better, hopefully, in the near future. But
where's
yeah,
a node ID one could go to review that patch?
Oh, let's see. You're always asking this tough questions, aren't you? So the
yes,
table of downloads on the project node is currently at number 89539.
Cool.
If you wanted to see that table of downloads on the project node.
Also, was there a place that we can go if we have kind of interest in what the future plans are for this release system and for project module in general?
Yes, there's a group on groups.drupal.org, and the future work stuff is all, there's just a story on that group. The group is called the New Release System group, and then the node you want to go to is groups.drupal.org/node/1830. And that's the full list of all of the sort of future work and bugs that have been reported that need fixing about the whole new release system.
Cool. So I didn't really follow up with my sort of from the module developer perspective. So, in the past, I guess that they're really, from a module developer's perspective, you weren't using CVS tagging pretty much at all, right? And now
right.
You are. That's how you make a release, correct?
Correct. Yeah, in the olden days, back in the dark ages, as I like to call back, them.
I remember 2 weeks ago.
Right. But yeah, in the dark ages, contrib module maintainers couldn't add any CVS tags. It was just basically completely forbidden by the CVS repository that we used for contributions. So now people have to know about tags and branches, and I acknowledge that that's something of a leap for people who think of CVS as either the drugstore or as this horrible magic black box that don't say the wrong thing or it will bite you.
I've gotten bitten before. I get bitten on a regular basis.
Yes, I feel for all of your pain. And so actually, Angie and I both spent many hours right before the release system went out updating all of Drupal's CVS handbook pages to be as clear and concise, as detailed as possible. So, you have to read the manual a little bit now if you're unfamiliar with the concepts. But in a nutshell, a tag is just a snapshot of the exact state of which revisions of all the files that make up a given thing, in this case, the contributed module or theme. So when you add a tag, you can give it a name, and our repository restricts your choices so that they sort of meet with the convention so that it's not complete mayhem in there, but that people follow the rules. And so say I had the 4.7x-1.3 version of the signup module that was going to come out, I'd make a tag called Drupal-4-7... So that's the sort of delimiter between the what version of core it's compatible with and the other stuff. So Drupal-4-7...1-3. Got that?
Okay, so I'm going to that's one that's audio. The version 1.3 of my module, which is compatible
with 4.7. Compatible with Drupal 4.7, exactly. As I said, doing this stuff via audio is a little bit hard, but it's all spelled out clearly. If you go to drupal.org/handbook/CVS, it's all there in glorious detail. But anyway, so a tag is just a symbolic name that says, this exact version of all these files in my directory, I want to call Drupal 4.7.1.3. So once you have a tag, then other people using anonymous CVS or whatever could actually check out the exact same version of all those files that made up the 1.3 release, right? So that's one of the nice features of a tag, is that everybody, once you know the tag, you can all get exactly the same copy of the source. And it's not, there's no date, there's no version 1.3 as of November 20th, right? It's just
at 4 p.m.
At 4 p.m., which time zone? All you need to know is the name of the tag, and then you can get the exact copy of all the source.
And this is nice because it's like, it's the same thing as Drupal. If you're downloading Drupal 4.7.4, you would like that to be the same files as when you downloaded Drupal 4.7.4 last Wednesday, you know. So it's the same type of concept there.
Exactly. And so Drupal core has always used CVS tags whenever they made releases, even for the like betas and release candidates. Everything has a tag, and that tag sort of exactly identified what code went into that release, so that then when people are reporting bugs, and you know, the ambitious folks in the bug tracking world are trying to either duplicate the problem or see if they can make a solution, they can check out, okay, you are using beta 1. This is exactly the code you had. I have that exact same code, and I am seeing the same problem. And this patch from this issue, it definitely fixes it, you know, so that there was no ambiguity about whether or not this bug really existed.
Right.
So Core, again, that's kind of the motto of this whole conversation. All the good stuff Core has always done, now we can do in Contrib as well.
Cool. So it's a little bit more for the module and theme developers to figure out, but ultimately it's really going to benefit everyone, I think, is really what it comes down to.
Exactly. And so I don't really like to mention this, because I'd personally rather see people who are maintaining this stuff be responsible and make official releases. But the sort of degenerate case, for the JavaScript people, it degrades, right? The degrading case of this is when the people do no extra work, and it still kind of works like what we've always had, because there is still support for these sort of nightly checkouts from CVS, whatever changed in the last 12 hours. If anything changed, we'll make a new tarball for it.
Right.
And these are known as the development snapshots. So they, at the end of their version string, have a little minus DEV, which is just short for dev. I mean, it should maybe be just snapshot. But so these little development snapshots continue to exist and continue to be made. And if people don't add any release tags and they just, you know, they do what they've always done, they work on the next version of Drupal Core and they port their module to it and they add the new branch that has the same name as Drupal Core's branch. So say they finally get their whatever sad module ported to Drupal 5, they add the Drupal 5 branch. All they have to do is point, you know, create a release node pointing to that new branch. And since it's a branch, not a tag, the whole release system knows that this should be a regenerated snapshot that happens every so often. And there it is, and people could just download it. But, of course, that reintroduces all the same nasty problems that we used to have with the 4.7.0 version of your module. It's, well, you don't know what version it really is unless you look at the date. So I continue to advocate that the maintainers do the responsible thing and make official releases so that people have something concrete to use. But if people don't want to do any more work, they basically get the same behavior they've always had.
That's pretty cool. So it must have been a huge task to convert all of the stuff that's on Drupal.org over to the new system.
Yeah, it would have been if we had done it manually, but we just wrote scripts to do that. And so part of the... Basically, we had to have a little bit of downtime on Drupal.org when we deployed the system, and a big part of what that downtime was about was allowing this script that was going to run through and convert everything over had time to do its thing. So it took a few hours to get that script right, but it certainly was faster in the end than trying to do it manually.
Well, yeah. But basically, I mean, each release is also a node, is that right? I mean, you have to, once you do your tagging, you also have to go in and create a new release, which is a node, for your release.
Yeah.
Where you can conceivably describe some things about that release as well, right?
Right, exactly. So the release nodes have a bunch of nice features. So, one of them, is that they have a body, a text that people are required to fill in, which is supposed to encourage them to tell you what changed since the last official release, right? So when the 1.1 version comes out, it'd be nice if the body didn't say, 1.1 version. But if there was a nice list of, you know, what issues were resolved since the 1.0 version, so, you know, why is it worth upgrading? Is there some security feature or, you know, some security fix I should know about? So, again, you know, I can provide the infrastructure, but I can't force people to do the right thing. So if people do the right thing, then, the release node, its body will have a nice list of all the issues that were fixed since the last release. There's a bunch of cool stuff using taxonomy that we can do. So one of the things is that all of these release nodes have a taxonomy associated with them, which is which version of Drupal that core they're compatible with, which is also part of the version string, so you could just tell from looking at it. But you also, there's now you know, like a taxonomy page on Drupal.org for any release node that's been associated with the Drupal 5.x. And so, you know, all the cool things you can do with taxonomy, like subscribe to that RSS feed, you can already do. So if you want to sort of track the progress of how people are porting over modules to version 5 of Drupal core, you know, with no extra work on my part, just using all the built-in functionality of taxonomy, you can already do that. Another cool thing that I'm planning to do in the near future is add another taxonomy that only applies to release nodes, which is what database backend is this module compatible with. And so by default, everybody would be clicking off the little MySQL box because that's what most people develop for. But some modules are actually compatible with Postgres. And right now, there's no good way to find that. But as soon as we add this taxonomy and associate it with release nodes and tell developers about it, the responsible ones will actually check off, oh yeah, I actually did the trouble. My modules install file knows how to create the tables on Postgres. I have no, you know, MySQL specific SQL queries in my module. I've tested it. I know it works on Postgres. Here it is.
Just by virtue of having that checkbox there, it might encourage some people to want to put in the extra work so that they can actually check off that box.
Right. But certainly, you know, the people who depend on Postgres support, again, there'd just be a nice taxonomy page on Drupal.org, and they could just immediately see, show me all the release nodes that claim to be compatible with Postgres, which would be really nice. And again, requires no, like, additional coding or effort, just sort of configuring Drupal.org to work that way and then teaching the developers to use it.
Yeah, very cool.
In other sites, not Drupal.org, but potentially, you know, other people who are using the project module, they could enable comments on release nodes. And, you know, if they didn't want to go through the trouble of setting up a whole support forum, you know, it's just a way for people to give feedback on releases. You know, there's a bunch of cool things that can come from having these be actual first-class nodes, as opposed to what they used to be was just sort of a record in a table, but then you couldn't associate anything with it without doing a bunch of custom work.
Right, right.
But now anything you can do to nodes, you can do to releases. So, you know, potentially restricted access based on roles or stuff like that that you can do with something like the simple access module or the node access by role module. On another site, you could set up those sorts of things.
Right. So, very cool.
Yeah.
Right on. So are you involved with other sort of project module or, you know, the whole module and theme download improvement stuff? I mean, is that what that group is that you were pointing to on groups.drupal.org?
Yeah, there's some of that stuff is there. I mean, certainly from the Drupal.org perspective, the project module is what manages all those downloads pages.
Right.
And I'm, for better or for worse, have taken over being the maintainer of the project module. So,
well, it's good that someone's doing it because it's definitely there are certain aspects, and this was sort of an issue that I remember noticing probably 6 months ago that there's a lot of just sort of infrastructural stuff around Drupal.org that with all of the users and all of the popularity that it's gotten aren't probably given the weight that they need. And definitely the project module was one of those. The API module, sort of another one. I mean, these things that sort of kind of handle a lot of the infrastructure around Drupal.org and yet aren't really particularly used by anyone on their own Drupal sites sort of become an issue.
Right.
So it's really great that you're dealing with that stuff.
Yeah, well, one of the things I've been trying to do is to make project module useful for other sites beyond Drupal.org, which I think was part of what killed it for so long.
Yeah,
is that
yeah.
It was so specific to what Drupal.org wanted it to be that no one else could use it. And then, you know, other than this one enormous site that needed it a lot, there were no other sites in the world that needed this module to work.
Right.
And so nobody was, you know, fixing bugs or adding features or worrying about porting it to the next thing. It all fell back onto Dries and the sort of the small handful of people right around the Drupal.org infrastructure to worry about. And
right.
So aside from just sort of picking up the torch and helping to wage that battle, I've also been trying to make it useful and trying to sort of foster a community of people using the project module outside of Drupal.org. which on the one hand has made things a little bit harder because I don't have quite as free a hand to just do ridiculously specific to Drupal.org hacks.
Right.
but on the other hand, I think in the long term is going to really pay off when there's, you know, 10 or 100 other sites that are using this and that are, you know, an active community who are helping to test new versions and provide patches and, you know, give input on new features and,
right,
you know, sort of now, spread the love.
Now, one thing, actually, just as I was looking around Drupal.org at the work you've done, I noticed that someone just posted a forum topic, about download counts and also user ratings on modules. Is that something that I know that there's been a lot of talk about that kind of stuff in the past. Are you aware of anything happening in that direction, or are there other sort of directions that things are headed?
Yeah, actually, Angie over there would be a good person to ask on this stuff. I do care about this stuff, and I'm happy to try and help make it happen. But I have somewhat limited time, and so it's not the central area of my focus on project stuff. But I definitely agree that all those things would be helpful, and I'm, you know, really happy to see people like Angie picking up the torch on that and trying to push that stuff forward.
Yeah, something that's been on my to-do when I have free time list for about, 7-8 months or so. Dries made this really nice little mock-up for what he pictures the project things being, and rather than relying on user ratings, they rely on, like, quality metrics that could be just calculated, basically, like, how many critical bugs have been in the issue queue? When was the time since the last commit? How many commits have there been in the past X? So basically, like, using all these things and weighting them so that you could fine-tune a kind of a quality measurement for the projects on your site.
Right.
And basically, it could display, like, a green if it's a well-maintained module that with lots of downloads and stuff like that, or a yellow if it's like, well, we're not really sure, you can try this, but, and a red if it's, like, horribly abandoned, like any of my modules.
No one's downloaded this for years.
Or lots of people downloaded it, and there's 4,000 bugs in the queue, and
right,
nobody's been around, you know, that kind of stuff.
Oh, that's
so
interesting to have,
yeah,
actually some like, actual metrics. I know that there is some, like, there's statistics now. I just noticed that on the project, if you go to the project issues for a thing, there's a statistics page now that has some of that kind of stuff, which is kind of cool.
I don't know if I've seen that.
Yeah. So, for instance, I'm looking at the API module project. So if you go to drupal.org/project/issues/statistics... /name of module, which in this case is API, you get
a little
page that has some information about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, this would be making it a little bit more user-friendly. Like, we wouldn't show all of this stuff.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's
neat
how you can get that information. I'll check if some of my modules are probably...
I mean, I think that this may be the first steps in that direction where you can kind of get some of that information, and then the trick would be to present it in a simpler way, let's say a block of color rather than a big chart. But yeah, cool. Awesome. Well, let's just sort of wrap this up and say thank you, Derek, so much for all the hard work you put in. This is some really great stuff, a big sort of infrastructural change for Drupal. That's really going to make things better and I think more stable for modules and themes and stuff like that in the future. So thanks,
yeah,
man.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thanks very
happy
much.
Happy to help.
And also thanks for coming on the podcast and telling everybody about it.
Yeah, I hope it made some sense in the audio realm when the visual is happening.
Well, you know, we try and cover all mediums, you know.
You go. Hey,
if you can't
whatever.
Actually be there, you just talk at people and maybe they'll pick up something. I don't know. So,
yeah. Derek, just real quick, what's the place we can go if we want to donate money into the cause and try and get some more of this stuff rolled out?
Oh, that's a good question. If you go to drupal.org/node/94,000, 4000, that's the post when the whole thing went live on drupal.org, and it has a nice list of all the people that I thanked for their help and blah, blah, blah. But there's also a couple of buttons there to donate via PayPal. And that just goes to help fund the future work. There's also a link to that future work thing on groups.drupal.org on that same node 94,000. So
cool.
Just remember, node 94,000.
Yeah, good node, man. You got it.
It was funny, actually. Angie and I were fixing the CVS handbook, and we were adding a bunch of stuff, and we were just sort of trying to get as much of it ready as we could. This was all the furious night before the release went out, and we just realized that we had done 39,999, and we're like, geez, the next node's 94,000. We should do something useful with it. And so the front page announcement post.
Yeah.
It wasn't quite intentional, but it wasn't entirely an accident either.
Right on. Yeah. Well, I guess Drupal.org just broke 10,000 nodes, right?
100,000.
100,000, right? Yeah, 100,000. Yes, yeah, I got my comma in the wrong place, but 100,000. Wait, so we've gotten 6,000 nodes since November 11th. Wow.
Yeah. Well, part of the reason for that is the release system.
Yeah.
The night that we converted all the old releases, that was like 2,500 nodes right there. Because as I mentioned, what used to be a record in a table now became a node. And so in the process of upgrading Drupal.org, this little magic update script had to go through and create about 25,000 nodes. And then, of course, since then, a bunch of other, you know, releases have been made as people have made the official releases. All of those initial release nodes were just the nightly snapshot, development snapshot nodes. So all of the official releases that have been made since then are also new nodes. So yeah, I certainly can take some of the blame for getting so quickly to node 100,000.
It's all good, man.
Well, good work for that too, man.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, thanks again, Derek, and you know, we'll see you around. You going to the DrupalCon in Mountain View or wherever it is? Where it is? Is it a Sunnyvale?
Sunnyvale. Yeah, that's actually that's right around the corner from here. So, unlike having to fly to Brussels, this will be a much easier one for me to get to. So
cool. Well, yeah, everyone, go to the Drupal, the next DrupalCon. The word on the street is march at Yahoo in Sunnyvale. Find Derek. And, you know, buy him a drink.
Of his choice.
All right. Thanks, Derek. Take care.
You guys, too.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.